I could go home right now and be blessed. How many of you would vote that we do that right now? Little guy down here goes. If you were here the last time I spoke 10 years ago or whatever, you'll remember as a number of years ago, our family owned a Ford conversion van. This was long before SUVs or minivans, that sort of thing. Have you ever been driving and you stop at a stoplight and it's in like a four-lane road or whatever, and as you're at the stoplight, you look over at the person next to you and it's somebody that you know, and you kind of do one of those deals? Or have you ever been out driving and you see somebody as you're driving either go by or that you know, and it's kind of like, whoa, there's so-and-so. I was pulling out of Meyer parking lot, getting ready to take a left on State Road 37 in the Fort Wayne area, and I see my wife, Judy, drive by in our conversion van. And it's one of those, whoa, there's Judy. And so, I want the light to, change. So the light changes, and I mean, there's a car or two between us, and so I was able to pass, and probably like a maniac, and I was able to get right behind her, and I thought, this is going to be great. It's one of those deals where she has no idea it's me, and so I was trying to get her attention. And so I was pulling up really, really close behind her on her bumper and then backing off and weaving in and out and honking and doing that kind of thing. And two things occurred that caused me to realize that was not Judy. The first thing that occurred is that this big burly guy driving the van looked out of the window and signaled me in a way I don't ever recall Judy signaling me before. We're number one or something. I'm not sure what it was. But do you remember I told you that there were two things that caused me to realize that was not Judy driving the van? I'm embarrassed to tell you. I was driving our van. I was driving the van. Jack, you've heard me tell this story before. Oh, man. You know, for an awful lot of people here tonight, that makes you feel really, really good. That the speaker can do such doofus, stupid stuff. Oh. We're going to be looking at a text tonight, a lady who has done some really doofus stuff. Rahab the harlot. Isn't it interesting how the Bible gives names to people that you and I would, it would be so politically incorrect to do that today. Rahab the harlot, blind Bartimaeus, Simon the leper. Can you imagine us doing that today? Well, there's Bob the alcoholic. Well, there's Francis the cripple. But nevertheless, that's what the Bible, it defines Rahab as a harlot. People have tried to work around that, but it's simply not true. We're going to be talking about her not only tonight, but also tomorrow morning in the morning session at 10 a.m. Follow along, Joshua chapter 2 on your note outline. Difficult to know how to sequence these messages because earlier, this morning we were in what, Joshua 5? 4 or 5, and now we're kind of backtracking into chapter 2 because it's difficult to sequence this stuff because the story of Rahab is interrupted. Here we go, Joshua 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, this is interesting, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. Isn't that interesting? They were able to sniff this thing out. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman who had taken the two men and hidden them, she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. And at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. It's a bold-faced lie, by the way. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. This is a troubling text. But she, in verse 6, it's interesting, Joshua's writing this down. She had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. We're going to discover tomorrow morning that this is in the opposite direction of which the spies would have gone. They went that away, and the spies are going this away. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, watch this, I know, look at her statement of faith, I know that the Lord, she's a believer, has given this land to you and that a great fear of you has fallen on us so that all who live in this country, watch this idiom, is melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Wow, that was over 40 years ago. And what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, here's the idiom used again, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Pretty good testimony, isn't it? Now then, please swear to me by the Lord, look at how, again, Joshua's weaving this idea in that she's a believer, that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. She's convinced that Jericho is going down. And this is an interesting, in Hebrew, it's the way the construction's done. Our lives for your lives, tit for tat. The men assured her, if you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. We live in an age right now where, to echo the words of Pontius Pilate, what is truth? It's coming out of the White House. It's coming out of the Democratic debates. Fake news. What is truth? Is it true? You can look on the internet, or you can look on any newscast. The fact-finding, these are the facts of what the candidates in the debate said and what's accurate. Of what the president said and what's accurate. And what's happening is that you're seeing taking place in our culture this erosion of truth. Doesn't make any difference which side of the political aisle you're on. As Pilate was right, what is truth? And so a lot of people struggle when they get to this passage. What do we do with this? A woman of faith, she tells a lie. Was it justified? Is there sometimes that it's okay to lie? Does the end justify the means? Well, I guess if it's a white lie, what does the Bible say about that? Let me help you with that, because this is a troubling passage. Look at your note outline concerning the lie of Rahab. Let's look at our first. First of all, let me just clearly say, lying is a sin. Thought for sure I'd hear an amen. Lying is a sin. It is never right to lie. She should not have lied. It's wrong. There is never a justification to lie. Yeah, but had she told the truth, the spies would have been killed. Maybe. Maybe not. God still could have, do you think that God still could have protected the spies had she not, you know, had she told the truth? Or even had she told the truth and the spies been killed, would God still have given Jericho to the Israelites? You see, God does not need our help by us bending the truth. It is never right to lie. Number two, next screen. Again, I'm trying to build a theological case to help you with this. Rahab was never commended for her lie. She was commended for her faith. James 2, I've got it printed there. The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies? Notice James does not affirm her for her lie. Rather, it was for her faith that God is God above and that he was going to take down Jericho. Notice also Hebrews 11. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, that's what was the commendation of her was. She was a woman of faith. Which leads us to the question, so why did she lie? Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you lie? Why do I lie? Because we're sinners. We're sinners. And to give you a little bit better perspective, next screen, please. Number three, you gotta give her a break. She was a pagan woman who lived in a pagan culture and maybe had come to faith that very day. This was a very young believer. She did not have any of the prophets. She did not have any of the Old Testament. And so this is an imperfect woman. And so I think that to a certain extent, rather than being hard on Rahab, we need to cut her a little slack. I'm not justifying her lie. What I'm saying is, look, she sinned, she made a mistake, she was doing the best she could as a young believer. That's how I work through this issue. I remember, some of you remember Corey Ten Boom. Raise your hand if you recognize the name. She wrote the best-selling novel, what was the title? The Hiding Place. Remember the premise of her book was during the occupation of Nazi Germany that her family would house Jews and hide them in a secret room, the hiding place, in their home. And her father, a great man of faith, had determined he would never lie. And so people who bring up these straw man arguments, watch what happens. There's a knock at the door. Boom, 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 boom. What they did, underneath their dining room table, they would pull the table back, the Corey Ten Boom, or the Ten Booms. There was a rug there. They would pull back the rug, and there were some slats in the floor. And what they would do, they would remove these slats, and there was this hidden compartment underneath. There was also a false room that they had. They put up a brick wall. And so if you would knock on it, you wouldn't feel it was hollow. They would house Jews, and there were Jews in their home. Suddenly, secret police, Nazis, show up at their door. Boom, 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 boom. Her father, Mr. Ten Boom, answers the door, and this is the question posed to him. Do you have Jews in this house? Answer, anyone is welcome in our home. Nazis came into the house and said, we know that you have Jews here. Where are they? Answer, underneath the dining room table. They looked under the table. They thought that he was messing with them, hitting him with the butt of their rifle and knocking him unconscious. He had determined, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Holy Spirit lives in me. I need to be a truthful person. I need to be an honest person. I don't cut corners. I need to be a person who speaks truth, who lives the truth. Jesus, I am the way, the truth. See, If I'm going to follow Jesus, Pastor Jim, I need to follow Jesus. And I need to be a truthful person. Number four, by his grace, God saved Rahab. And by his grace, God used Rahab. It's an interesting thing. You are sitting there tonight, and there are some people here tonight, I'm confident, you don't want to be here. You're resistant. You were invited. Maybe you were forced. Maybe you're here because a parent or a grandparent made you come, or you had promised in a moment of weakness that you would be here. And as you're seated here tonight, you're thinking, you know, whatever. And I understand that. And you feel like a failure, and you feel this lack of purpose, and you think, you know what, Pastor Joel, you don't know what I've done. You're right. I know what I've done. And by the way, the idea that you're a failure, congratulations, you're absolutely right. And so is all the rest of us. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. You know what? You're a candidate for grace. A number of years ago, I was jogging down our road, and we had this female cat, a mama cat, and the cat had been was laying there in the road, and it had been run over. And I thought, oh boy, oh boy. So I got home, and I said, well, guess what? I found Midnight in the middle of the road, and she's dead. And Judy goes, oh, man. Next day, I'm at the office, and Judy gives me this call, and she goes, I'm here mewing underneath the deck. Uh-oh. I said, well, maybe she gave birth to a kitten. Singular. She goes, well, I'm going to try to woo the kitty out. And I'm on the phone with her, and she goes, they keep mewing. They? Yeah. Oh, okay. I've got one. All right. Are there any more? Well, I have four. Four? Yeah, they're still mewing. Are there any more? Just a second. I can't see. It's dark under the deck. All right. I've got them all. Six. Six. And their eyes aren't open. Oh, for crying out loud. So I decided, I called the children's zoo. We have six little kitties without, and their eyes aren't open, and they're orphans. I'm not quite sure what I want to ask. Would you take them? No. So I thought, well, what are we going to do? We got these six little kitties that their eyes are closed. So I call Petco. Ma'am, I said, we got six little kitties, their eyes aren't open, and can you help me? Yes, we'll fix you up. Okay, I'll be right over. So I go over there, and I said, okay. She goes, you have six? Yes. She goes, you're going to need a number of items. Items? Yeah, she says, we have formula. Formula? Well, they can't drink cow milk. We have kitty formula here. Okay. And how are they going to drink that? Well, you have to buy these syringes. Okay. Formula and syringes. Now, and they mix the formula up. Yeah, okay. And then how often do they eat? Twice in the morning and twice in the evening. Holy smokes. Is there anything else I need to do? Well, you need to urge them to go to the bathroom. How does one I think the word you used was urge. Yes, sir. She goes, well, the mother cat licks their bottom. Ma'am, I'm not doing it. Okay, then what you're going to need to get these little special wipes, and you're going to need to... So every morning and every evening, Judy would have the formula in a syringe and would be feeding them on one end. And I would be ministering to them on the other end. Wow. Every morning, every night, twice in the morning, twice at night, and their eyes eventually opened, and they all lived, and we put them in a box, and eventually they began scratching and crawling all over each other and started crawling out of the box, and this one, when it was born, apparently it must have broken its back leg, and we called it Peg Leg, and well, maybe we should go to the next screen. Guess which one's Peg Leg? The reason I bring this up, they were abandoned with no mama and no daddy. And out of compassion, we adopted them and got messy and took time and fed and nurtured them. And it became a picture of God's grace to me. I shared that story when it happened in real time at the church I was serving at the time. By the afternoon, we had adopted out every single one of those kitties. And a lady in our church came, she was the first one who came that afternoon and said, I want the one with the broken leg, and I'm going to name her Grace. You see, you have felt abandoned, rejected, in darkness, not knowing what to do, where to turn, or who to look to. And you have a Heavenly Father who, as you're crying out with Muse, invites you to come into the light. And I will adopt you as my own. And I'll feed you. And I'll clean up your messes. concerning the faith of Rahab on your note outline. The next screen, please. Rahab heard and chose to believe. Notice in verse 10, she says, "We have heard." Look at verse 11. "We have heard." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She heard. There is something about hearing the word of God. I need to position myself in a place where I can hear it. Perhaps you're here tonight and you don't want to be here. And you're resistant and you're thinking, you know what, this is just a bunch of... The power of the Holy Spirit can work in your heart in such a way that's just undeniable. When I hear his word, as you've been hearing it this week, now you've got a choice to believe it or not. Will I believe it about my son? Will I believe it about my daughter? Will I believe it about my health, my finances, my job, my marriage? It's one thing to hear it. It's something else to believe it. Number two, look at the next note outline. She heard and chose to believe. Number two is she believed and chose to act. James 2, "In the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did. She acted, she chose to harbor the spies. She chose to," and we'll talk about this more tomorrow morning, "she chose to hang the scarlet cord out of her window. She chose to act. She put feet to her faith," which I'm going to ask you to do in just a few moments. It's one thing to hear, it's something else to believe, it's something else to act. And I'm going to take a step, and in just a moment, I'm not going to surprise you, in just a moment I'm going to ask you to take a step towards health. Some of you need to say, you know what, I need to move my body, because if I sit on the bench, I'm going to play games with myself. I made a decision. But if I move my body bodily, I'm going to take steps towards health, and this will be the first step. The other thing I'm going to ask you to do in just a second is that, man, I've talked to dozens of people who've got prodigal kids. Heart-wrenching. Would you be willing to take a step and intercede on behalf of your children tonight? I'm going to choose to believe. I shared with another couple earlier today. He who began a good work in your daughter or your son, he who began that work will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. Timetable is unknown. It will happen. Are you going to trust it? Are you going to believe that? See? Are you going to believe that? And finally, number three, she acted and God chose to use her. How did God use Rahab? This is an imperfect person. She's a liar. Young believer, how did God use her? Well, because of her, spies were protected. Because of her, reconnaissance happened on the city of Jericho. Because of her, Jericho was taken and became a staging area for the conquest of Cana. Because of her, incidentally, she's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Hall of Fame of Faith. Isn't it interesting? Samuel's not there. Daniel's not there. Some of the greatest heroes of the faith are not in Hebrews chapter 11. Guess who is? Rahab the harlot. Not only that, but are you aware of the fact that God used her to become the great-great-grandmother of King David? Do you know that? She became part of the lineage of Messiah and had no idea. You see, when you hear and believe and move your body and trust God, he will use you to impact other people in generations to go. And you have no idea of the implications. Jack and I were talking earlier. We had that conversation, brother. The number of people who have made decisions in this room, the number of people who became missionaries because of the decision at this altar, the number of people who were called to be pastors at this altar, who came to Christ at this altar, do you have any idea of the implications on eternity that happened because of choices that were made in this room? Tremendous legacy that we have no idea of the far-reaching effects of that. When she came to faith and when she was grafted in the vine, little did Rahab, she wasn't thinking, you know what, I got a hunch I may be in the lineage of Messiah one day. Maybe I'll make it into the Bible. No concept whatsoever, but you know what, God takes care of that stuff. And so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. And I'm going to ask Bruce and Sherry if you guys would come. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. You know that you know that you know. And boy, it feels like there's a big magnet on your seat right now. And maybe you need to turn to the person next to you and say, would you go with me? And say, I know I need to do this and I'm fighting it. Would you go with me? How about you, Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa? I'm going to be kneeling right down here with you. You willing to pray for your prodigal son or daughter? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for being willing to use people who make bad mistakes, who are sinful people, who are flawed, who are imperfect, who have failed miserably. We're candidates for grace, broken leg and all. Thank you that you've called us out of darkness into the light. And thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of kneeling in an altar where people have knelt throughout generations and it's impacted eternity. And Lord, I pray as people come forward tonight that you would hear our prayers, oh God, that you'd work in the hearts of our kids and our grandkids, our brothers and our sisters, our spouse, and that, Lord, you would do which only you can do. Give us the courage and the faith, as weak as it is, to trust you at your promise, just like Rahab did. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing, and as we're singing, would you come and join these who have already come to the altar tonight?